Chapel Hill police are once again searching for a teenager who has now gone missing twice in the last week. 15-year-old Miguel Jaime was last seen Sunday morning at 10:30 on Irwin Road. He had just been found after also going missing on Thursday. He's 6'1", 230 pounds, and there's a photo of him on our website, chapelboro.com. Call 911 or contact police if you have any information or know his whereabouts. Turning to COVID-19, UNC Health will once again begin offering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on Wednesday after a three-week pause. The CDC and the FDA already gave the go-ahead for the vaccine last week. You can visit the website yourshot.org to get more info and schedule a vaccine appointment with UNC Health. They are also now accepting walk-ins at the Friday Center. State health officials report 1,007 North Carolinians are currently in the hospital with the virus. That's down about 100 from yesterday. Nearly 50% of North Carolina adults are at least partially vaccinated, though new vaccinations have slowed down quite a bit in recent weeks. UNC Health has now administered more than 375,000 vaccine doses in all. Turning to state news, mourners gathered yesterday for the funeral of Andrew Brown Jr., a 42-year-old black man who was shot and killed by police in Elizabeth City last month, sparking widespread protests. Speakers at the funeral included Brown's sons, as well as Reverend Al Sharpton and civil rights lawyer Ben Crump. Brown's family and civil rights advocates are calling for the release of body cam footage from the shooting. An independent autopsy found that he was shot five times, including once in the back of the head. Back locally, the Carrboro Town Council meets tonight at 7 with an agenda that includes a discussion of manufactured home communities, as well as future plans for Town Hall and the Century Center. Townofcarrboro.org for more info there. Last week, the Town Council signed off on a plan to join Chapel Hill's criminal justice debt program, first established last January to help residents struggling to pay court costs and fees. Mayor Lydia LaBelle spoke with 97.9 The Hill about how that new joint town operation will work.
The town of Chapel Hill collects, collects revenues from court costs and fees each year because they have a courthouse in the town of Chapel Hill. So they created this criminal justice debt program to be able to help those that might need help paying. It's a funding resource for people to be able to go to court and pay off fees and costs. Due to traffic court involvement or other areas of criminal justice. And so what we did was we allocated a certain amount of money to go toward that program. And that way we can participate in that program. And if we have any Carrboro folks who have need for that program, then they can work through it and apply for those monies. And we allocated $7,500 to accompany the town of Chapel Hill's program. We'll see how that goes. But it's really important to us. Because, court fees and costs, they have such a disparate impact on poor folks. And especially, we know that, black people are disproportionately represented in the criminal justice system. And so this is a way for us to try to continue along our lines of racial equity.
That's Carrboro Mayor Lydia LaBelle speaking there. Elsewhere in local government, Orange County Manager Bonnie Hammersley will present her annual budget proposal to county commissioners when they meet at 7 p.m. OrangeCountyNC.gov for the full agenda. And Orange County Schools Committee on School Renaming will meet at 6 tonight to consider proposed new names for Cameron Park Elementary. OrangeCountyFirst.com for more on that. Speaking of the schools, a nice honor this week for the Chapel Hill Carrboro District with the release of U.S. News and World Report's annual ranking of the nation's high schools. All three Chapel Hill Carrboro high schools ranked among the top 20 traditional schools in North Carolina, with East Chapel Hill at number 4, Chapel Hill at number 11, and Carrboro at number 17. Number 1 in the state, if you're wondering, is the Early College at Guilford. Over to Chapel Hill, where a new initiative has recently launched to keep more trash out of the landfills by making it a little easier for residents to compost. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras has more on that.
The Chapel Hill Farmers Market has begun accepting residential food waste for composting at its University Place location. Compostable materials can be dropped off during Saturday market hours from 8 a.m. until noon. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger said giving residents a viable way to go green is important to the town's mission.
It's part of our climate action plan is reducing the waste. The waste that can be not having to be driven to a landfill and take up room in a landfill that can go back in to the earth to create that compost, to help grow more gardens, to help that cycle of life is great, but people want real ways to do it.
Waste reduction, composting, and building healthy food systems are all important parts of Chapel Hill's recently adopted Climate Action and Response Plan and a goal of producing zero waste by 2045. The compost site is made possible by the collaborative efforts of the Chapel Hill Farmers Market, Orange County Solid Waste Management, University Place, and the town of Chapel Hill.
We work with these different groups with some restaurants and the grocery stores, and now we're making it more available to individuals through having it at public places.
Food scraps collected at the farmers market will be processed by Brooks Contractor in Goldston, North Carolina. This large commercial composting facility manages more than 50,000 tons of scraps annually and can accept a wide variety of organic materials, including raw or cooked kitchen scraps, paper products such as napkins or paper towels, and certified compostable serving ware. Heminger said users should make sure they remove all stickers, labels, plastic, and other contaminants from their food before tossing it in the bin.
We do have to staff these events to make sure people understand what you can compost and what doesn't really work in composting. So the more we educate people, our hope is the more that people will want to compost and realize the great benefits in doing so.
The Chapel Hill Farmers Market joins more than 50 other commercial sites served under the Orange County program, as well as three other residential food waste drop-off sites located at Carborough Farmers Market and the county's Waste and Recycling Center at Eubanks Road and Walnut Grove Church Road.
It's just a really good way to not have to throw things into a plastic bag that then goes into a landfill to sit for hundreds of years.
For more information about the newest composting location at the Chapel Hill Farmers Market, visit townofchapelhill.org. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Over to Durham now, where WNCN is reporting City Manager Wanda Page is set to propose the creation of a new safety and wellness department that would allow the city to not have to send police out to respond to calls that don't actually require a police response. That proposal is set to come later this month. Meanwhile, WRAL is reporting that the Durham City Council this week will consider extending pandemic rules allowing restaurants to offer more outdoor dining. And Durham County Commissioners this week got a look at new plans for a 37-mile commuter rail line that would run from Durham through RTP into Raleigh and Wake County. WRAL reporting that line could be running by the end of the decade. Finally, back to state news, where officials recently reported a drop in the unemployment rate, down half a point from February to March. It's a hopeful sign, but as we recently heard from Patrick McHugh of the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center, the unemployment rate alone doesn't tell the whole story.
Yeah, you know, that unemployment rate is kind of a quirky little measure that is helpful, but you got to be real careful with it, particularly if you're looking just on sort of 1 month to the next kind of changes. So, yeah, it's kind of eye-popping that it drops by 0.5%. But the bigger story or the bigger context in this is we're still more than 150,000 jobs short of where we were before COVID-19 came along. So anyone who's getting too excited about full recovery being just on the horizon needs to kind of pump the brakes a little bit and recognize that when you just actually look at the number of folks working, we're still a long way from being back to where we were. So that's kind of the first thing. I think the second thing to note in that is that that 1 month change, so first of all, sometimes those things will get revised when they get more information kind of down the road, but the bigger part of that drop is actually bad news, not good news, because the headline unemployment rate really only captures people that report when they get surveyed, I'm actively looking for work right now. And so people who have been pushed out of the labor force, whether that's because they simply can't find a job, or they're sick, or they're tending to a sick relative, or they're providing childcare, you know, the myriad of reasons that folks that would like to be working can't be looking for a job in a given moment. Any of those folks that don't say, yeah, I'm looking for a job right now, don't get counted as officially unemployed. And if you look at the change from February to March of this year, there's actually a bigger chunk of the folks that left the labor market entirely than got jobs. So that change from 1 month to the next is actually as much driven by people leaving the labor force, which is not good news and doesn't reflect complete recovery.
That's Patrick McHugh speaking there. And you can get our full conversation on our website, chapelboro.com, under This Morning with Aaron Keck. 6:17 is your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. The brackets are out for the NCAA men's and women's tennis tournaments. UNC got the overall top seed on the women's side. They'll host South Carolina State in the first round on Friday at 1. On the men's side, Carolina got the 6th overall seed. They'll host Presbyterian in round 1 on Saturday at 1 p.m. Worth noting, UNC head coach Sam Paul graduated from Presbyterian back in 1983. Over to Carolina basketball, where new UNC head coach Hubert Davis dropped some potentially good news on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein yesterday. Not official yet, but Davis said Armando Bacot will be back with the Tar Heels next year. Bacot is currently going through the NBA draft process, hasn't made an official announcement, but he did not hire an agent. He led Carolina in both scoring and rebounding last year. In lacrosse, congrats to Tar Heel senior Chris Gray, just named as one of 10 finalists for the National Senior Class Award. That goes to a senior who succeeds in community, classroom, character, and competition. The winner will be announced later this month. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got another win last night, 5-2 over Chicago. The Canes and the Blackhawks are back in action again tonight in Raleigh. Faceoff is set for 7. And UNC baseball is also in action tonight, hosting Campbell at 6, looking to get back on the winning track after being swept over the weekend by Notre Dame. We'll have tonight's game for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning at 6 after News on the Hill with Brighton McConnell.